Welcome to this meeting of the Canterbury Bankstown Local Planning Panel. I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. Acknowledgement of Country. The Canterbury Bankstown Local Planning Panel acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land, water and skies of Canterbury Bankstown, the Darug people. The panel recognises and respects Darug cultural heritage, beliefs and relationship with the land, and the panel acknowledges the First Peoples' continuing importance to the Canterbury Bankstown City community. My name is Julie Walsh and I'm the chair of tonight's panel meeting. Also sitting with me are experts Lee Cosnetta on the far end, Elizabeth Peat immediately adjacent, and community representative Osman Said from the Roselands Ward. Declarations of interest. All panel members have signed a written declaration of interest indicating that they have no interest in the only item which is on the agenda today, and I'll just ask everyone to confirm that that's still the case, Mr. Cosnetta.
That's still the case, thank you.
Ms. Peat?
Still the case.
Still the case.
And it's the case with me, no conflicts of interest. I confirm the minutes of the 7th of July 2025 meeting of the panel, confirmed as correct by the chair of that meeting. As I indicated before, the meeting's being recorded by the council, and that's the only recording allowed by people present, and there to be no photographs. People are to remain silent while speakers are speaking, and there are to be no interjections at any time. If there is any disorder in the meeting, I'll have to temporarily close the meeting, and those creating disorder will be removed from the meeting. The panel members have visited the site of the only item on the agenda today, which is DA 217-2025, 67 Wanji Road, Lakemba, installation of four loudspeakers to the existing minaret of Lakemba Mosque. The panel members have also read the business papers, supporting documents and submissions received by council, including additional submissions received since the publication of the business paper. They've received a briefing from the council staff, and you can rest assured that the panel will be making its determination on the planning merits of the application, having regard to the applicable criteria in the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act. After the public meeting has concluded, the panel will move into closed session to deliberate and to determine the application, and the minutes of the meeting and the determination will be on the council website by Friday. The speakers will be in the order of objectors first, followed by representatives of the applicant. And the speakers are given 5 minutes each. After 3 minutes, a bell will sound and the speaker will be asked to complete their presentation within 5 minutes. And if the speakers could stay at the microphone, as the panel members may have questions. So I'll move to the first speaker I have down here, which is Michael Lackis. If you could come down to the microphone. Mr. Lackis, I understand, I did have that Peter Lackis was going to speak, but I understand he's not in a position to be here tonight and you're going to speak on his behalf.
Yes.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Good evening, Madam Member and members of the panel. There are a number of questions that I would raise for you, not to answer tonight, but to ask yourself, and to avoid any sort of adversarial situation at a later date. The first question is, in the notification sent to residents, no mention of the EPA having been consulted or notified was mentioned in the notification to the residents. This may not have a bearing now, but if there is a complaint later on sent to the EPA, you might want to address it at that point, but it should have been noted in the notification to residents. Value to the council, I would refer the members to the Act and the legislation, which clearly outlines the fact that any noise that emanates from a particular machinery, a sound system that disadvantages local residents is gives room for complaint to the EPA, for which they will be addressed. The third issue or question raised would be the devaluation of properties in the nearby or surrounding areas. Will the council or council's submission to the local government pay residents for any shortfall in the devaluation of their properties as a result of the introduction of these loudspeakers? Again, that would be an issue that would be raised with the EPA or the local government. So I would like to now basically state if the council are aware, or are the members of the council aware, of restrictions placed on churches and the bell ringing. It's been limited or nullified. So it would say that one religious group has been kiboshed in having noise emanating from their religious place of worship. So we would ask why one section of the Canterbury-Bankstown community would be allowed to emanate noise. And we're talking about maybe five times a day by 365 days. So that's it's not just a one-off or a one small period of time. It's a continuous, everlasting introduction of this particular level of noise. We're not seeking a restriction of any religious worship. I myself am from a Middle Eastern background. I have no wish to restrict anybody from a place of worship. It's not an issue of restriction of attendance. It's a restriction of noise emanating from a particular area and how far that goes. Where issues of wind carrying noise, is it just restricted to the Canterbury-Bankstown Council? Will other suburbs be, other suburbs and councils be affected? These are issues we would like the council to consider before making any decisions. Our understanding is the council represents all members of the community, not just ones of a particular religion, not ones of a particular culture, not ones of a particular race or colour. They represent all members of the community. To that effect, is that the majority rule, or is it some sort of nepotism or cronyism that's going to come to the fore and say, well, seven of our members are of Middle Eastern background, seven of 15, do they hold sway over decisions made by the council? That's something that you have to look within yourself to find out. Mr. Lekis wishes to state that he has been given 5 minutes to speak, yet it has taken him 20 years to pay off his house. There's an imbalance there of representation. He's paid rates, he's paid his dues, he's paid interest on loans, and now he looks at having a devaluation of his property with one signature on a document. I find that ludicrous. There are other issues that may bind the council to say, yeah, this is a fair argument. And I would like to just ask, why is it that there are restrictions placed on certain members of the public and certain groups, but we're even entertaining the installation of loudspeakers, on a religious property? I just don't understand it. And I wish the council would basically, if they approve it, give reasons why, not just say it has been approved. But are you saying that if it's approved here, that every other mosque within Australia is allowed to do that?
Right, that was the 3-minute buzzer. If you could please conclude. Thank you.
Okay, I don't think there's much more to say. As I said, it's not about religious freedom or religious restrictions. It's about noise pollution, devaluation of property and representation of the community as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just wait there and I'll see if there are any questions. Mr. Cosnetto, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
No questions.
No further questions.
I didn't have any questions. I just wanted to emphasise to you that the local planning panel is an independent panel of three experts and one community member. We are not the councillors. We are not under the direction of the council. We will make our determination as independent people. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did have one other registered speaker down, but they weren't here at the beginning of the meeting, so I'll just call the name again in case they're here. Belinda Bahu. Is there anyone here to speak on behalf of Belinda Bahu? In those circumstances, they were the only two registered speakers I had for the objectors, but rest assured, the panel members have read all of the objections and submissions that were lodged with the council in respect of the application, including the more recent ones since the publication of the business paper. In that case, we'll move to the applicant's representatives. So I have Tony Barsa from Quakers Acoustics and Rhonda Chemio from Rockerman Town Planning. Who would like to go first? Or would you like to come down together, perhaps? So I'm thinking what might be helpful would be perhaps if the town planner goes first and then the acoustic expert, and if there's anything you take issue with in the council officer's report, that would be most useful, or if you have any other comments you wish to make, and then I think a number of the panel members do have some questions. So perhaps if you could go first, Ms. Jamaloo, thank you.
Good evening, Madam Chair and panel. My name is Rhonda Jemlui from Rockerman Town Planning, and I am representing this application before you tonight, in which my team and I prepared on behalf of the applicant and owner, the Lebanese Muslim Association. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the planning assessment team at Canterbury Banks Town Council for their efforts so far. However, I would like to draw the panel's attention to the circumstance in which we believe the application has been brought to panel prematurely, as we have not been able to access the peer review acoustic report prepared by council's independent acoustic engineer, in order to properly refute the details of the report and present an acoustic response or suggested amendments. Also, we have not been afforded the opportunity to view the submissions received by council to understand why the application was so contentious and have an understanding of the specific concerns residents have raised, because council's access information team stated that they would not be prepared to provide these to us before the 28th of August due to copyright procedures and the amount of submissions received. Yet here we are at local planning panel on the 11th of August without viewing the entire application and put forward to panel despite raising these concerns with council's planning team. Nonetheless, the application has been put forward to panel tonight with a recommendation of refusal based on a variation to acoustic controls within the Canterbury Bankstown DCP 2023, where the Adan, or call to prayer, played on four loudspeakers raises the background noise level greater than 5 decibels. Tonight, we acknowledge there is a variation to the control as documented in the acoustic report prepared by council. However, it is not uncommon for the local planning panel to consider a merit assessment and site-specific variations to DCP controls, noting that clause 4.15 subclause 3AB of the EPA Act 1979 provides opportunity for the consent authority to apply DCP controls with flexibility in a reasonable manner when considering performance criteria is met. In this instance, the performance criteria relates to adverse impacts on the adjoining residential development and compatibility with the prevailing character. It is our opinion that the call to prayer does not create an adverse impact, but merely serves the local community. Without going into the specifics of Council's report, in which we all have access to, we can acknowledge that the report hones in on objectives relating to residential amenity, describing the proposal as detrimental and incompatible with the local area. I would like to firstly clarify that the proposed noise is a call to prayer, or adhan in Arabic, which is a peaceful call for prayer that reflects the teachings and methodology of Islamic prayer. Keeping that in mind, the proposal is to play the Islamic call to prayer for 15 minutes on Friday at midday or 1 p.m, depending on the moon calendar, for Jum'ah prayer or Friday congregational prayer at the most prominent mosque in New South Wales that has existed since 1977. Keeping the extent of the acoustic variation in context, the proposed call to prayer will last 15 minutes out of 168 hours a week, which equates to 0.15% of the week. Furthermore, the call to prayer is not a new form of ancillary use to place of public worship. We should acknowledge tonight that St. Charbel's and St. Jerome in Punchbowl, which is about 1 kilometre away from Lakemba Mosque, plays church bells on Sunday mornings for Mass and during special events, attracting locals throughout the Canterbury-Bankstown LGA. The proposed adhan is the same call to prayer, just with literal words in the universal Islamic language of Arabic, because Muslims don't use instruments or songs during prayer. The point I'm trying to make here is church bells serve the same purpose as an adhan, and if the council or objectors are concerned about precedents being set, it appears the precedent already exists. This brings me to my next point, in which council has not considered at all in its assessment process, the social benefit. Section 415, subclause 1B of the EPA Act 1979 states the likely impacts of the development, including environmental, social and economic impacts in the locality. Yes, we have an acoustic variation to the residential amenity, but what about the purpose of a call to prayer and the purpose of the application? When you break this application down, the entire development is a call to prayer, which aims at creating social cohesion, unity and a public display of faith. The report refers to the adhan as intrusive and creates a substandard amenity outcome for current and future residents. But nowhere in the report discusses who the residents were and what social benefit would be conjured from approving this application. According to ABS data dated from the census 2021, the adhan would serve more than 60% of the local population and represent a faith that is greater than 23% of the Canterbury-Bankstown population. I may add that 17.32% of the Canterbury-Bankstown population speak Arabic. The Lakemba Mosque hosts over 100,000 patrons a year and clearly represents a solid social fabric in the second most multicultural LGA in New South Wales, second to the neighbouring LGA Fairfield. The report also failed to address all of these own objectives, and one of those being enabling land uses that provides facilities and services to meet the day-to-day needs of residents. Considering 61.2% of Lakemba's population is Muslim, and regardless of how big or small you view this application, the resulting call to prayer form an everyday function of the majority of Lakemba's population, facilitating a needed service for the community. And in my opinion, we would sum up that the performance criteria of the DCP has been met. I will conclude by stating to the panel that considering we are the only two people in this room that represent for the application, it would be easy for the panel to accept Council's position and recommendation for refusal based on a DCP variation and justification of a substandard residential amenity. However, I do ask the panel when deliberating to consider the purpose of this application, whom this application will impact and whom it will benefit, and keep the variation in context. A 15-minute call to prayer once a week for the Friday congregational prayer at midday that serves the public interest and promotes cultural inclusion, religious harmony and community spirit. I thank you for your time and consideration this evening.
Thank you. I just might check. I think maybe hear from the acoustic person as well. Yes. So I might just ask the acoustic expert if he could address us
as well, and then we'll ask our questions of both of you when that's finished. Thank you. Please proceed.
I'm Tony from Quarkus Acoustics. I prepared the acoustic report that was submitted to Council for the DA. I'd like to use my time to address the contentions that was brought to our attention. So the first one is that our report used the EPA noise policy for industry instead of the Council's DCP to establish noise criteria. Our measured background levels were 37 dB, and under the DCP, background plus 5 would be 42. In our noise policy for industry project noise trigger level, we concluded the same level of 42. So the amenity level that the criteria was the same. The second contention, background noise levels adopted for the purpose of establishing noise criteria are not consistent with the recommendations for the noise policy for industry. I'd just like to speak to how we derived our noise levels. An unattended noise logging survey was installed in the rear yard of 20 Bouras Avenue, directly behind the mosque. This location is shielded from traffic along Wangay Road. The noise criteria in the rear yard is lower compared to the background noise level along that main road. Attended noise measurements were also conducted along the road in front of the mosque during the period of unattended noise logging to establish a differential. Two attended surveys were conducted, one in the afternoon and one in the morning, and both of them were differing in levels. The first one in the afternoon was 7 dB different, so a 7 dB higher noise level on the main road compared to the noise logger, and the second one was a 12 dB difference. So we've taken a conservative approach and adopted the 7 dB difference and applied that to the main road as a amenity. So that results in a RBL of 44 for Wangay Road and then 37 for the more shielded residences. It should be noted that the main contributor of noise along the main road was traffic pass-bys and distant traffic noise from Punchbowl Road, which is north of the subject site. The third contention, the noise quality for industry duration correction has been incorrectly applied. We don't feel this is the case. Fact sheet C of the noise policy for industry, table C3, has a allowable duration correction. It's a one event in any 24-hour period of up to 15 dB for this. And if we assume that the call to prayer is going to only operate for 4 minutes during its time, that allows for that 15 dB exceed over the project noise trigger levels. We do have solutions moving forward as well, so if given the opportunity to, we could propose different noise mitigation solutions based on lowering speaker levels or changing duration of the event. Thank you.
Okay, just wait there and I'll just check if there are any questions.
Yeah.
It's the proposal's been lodged for 15 minutes.
I beg your pardon?
The proposal has been lodged for a 15-minute duration. However, if we were given an opportunity or afforded an opportunity to respond to Council's RFI, we would have been happy to negotiate a lesser time.
Right. Another question, what sort of radius does the proposed speakers, how far does the call go? How far does the noise disseminate?
That would depend on the volume of the speaker. So the louder it is, obviously the further it will travel. But I don't think it will be that far. We don't have a distance radius, but I can check that and get back to you.
Is there a proposed volume?
Yes, from our initial report, we had it at 83 dB at 1 meter from the speaker, and that would align with what we've adopted for our criteria. But if given the opportunity, we would look at different solutions to try and find that, whether that be lower the speaker level or reduce the time it's played for.
Just ask a follow-up question. You said then that the volume was to align with the criteria that you had in the report.
Yes.
Are you suggesting that you set a criteria for what you believe to be an appropriate noise level and set the speaker to that level, or is there a purposeful radius of constituents or congregants that you're trying to reach with the speakers?
The intent that we designed to was to reach as many people as possible while still being reasonable or complying with the noise policy for industry. So we would look at the most affected receiver, and the most affected receiver point would set the trigger point for when that noise policy for industry threshold was exceeded.
Can I ask why you selected a noise policy for industry when it's a residential area?
So councils sometimes will use the noise policy for industry in, like, we'll refer to it in the DCPs. In this particular case, the product noise trigger level was the same as background plus 5, which is the same as what the DCP requires. We also applied other modifying factors from the noise policy for industry to this assessment, which is why it was used.
Another question, this might be for the planner. Are there any alternatives to the loudspeaker? Have those been investigated?
No. Universally, Islamic call to prayer is always on a speaker on top of the minarets, and the whole purpose is to reach its local population.
So I had, I might just start with the planner. So obviously there were many submissions which we've read from the community in response to the notification of the proposal, and universally they've said they found the idea of the call to prayer a noise that would be unacceptable to them. So I'm just wondering, in terms of the purpose of it is not to notify the members of the mosque that they're, when the call to prayer is on, it's actually something similar to a church bell to make the members of the congregation aware of the mosque and its function.
Yes.
That's correct. Okay.
That's exactly right. The name of a call to prayer in Arabic is an adhan. An adhan serves the exact same purpose as what church bells do. Muslims have five prayers a day and a main Friday congregational prayer in which they come together and pray just like they would of an equivalence to Sunday Mass. So just like church bells, an adhan is really just a public display of faith and lets the local community know that it's time for prayer.
And you mentioned a couple of other churches and church bells. Are you aware of whether the council or any other planning authority has granted approval for those bills in, if I say in recent times, say in the past 15 years, or whether they were historic situations from many, many decades ago?
From my understanding, there would be, from my understanding, I don't know if they were approved, but they do play every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and they do play for special events, and that is listed on their websites. And I have heard them myself. But like I said, church bells really serve the same purpose, and they exist already in Punch Bowl.
So some of the submissions were indicating that they found the... so you're familiar with the concept of offensive noise under the Protection of the Environment Operation Act. It's dealt with in the COICAS report. Did you have a look at that?
Yes. I looked at the COICAS report, but we didn't get...
So at, and I'm going to ask the acoustic expert about it. So at page 17 in the COICAS report, there's a reference to a checklist that's used to assist councils in determining whether a noise is offensive noise under the Protection of the Environment Operation Act. And there's a series of questions, and one of them is whether the noise has characteristics that make it particularly irritating. And some of the submission, well, many of the submissions indicated the fact that it was different to church bells because it actually was, it wasn't so much a call to prayer as a prayer itself, and that they found that that was bringing the practice of faith into the public realm rather than within the four walls of a place of public worship.
Yeah, good question. The definitely not an offensive noise. It's a soothing, very cool, slow call to prayer, and it. It just reiterates, God is great. This is, I do have a translation, and I'm sure you've seen it in my statement of environmental effects. But in terms of it being an offensive noise that falls within the definition of offensive noise under the Protection of the Environmental Operations Act, 97, I would not consider it offensive. There was a second part to your question.
I asked about, whether you accepted that people in the community who were not members of the congregation might consider the noise to be something quite different to church bells.
It would be the same thing. For example, if I had lived in, being Muslim and lived in Tilopia Street in Punch Bowl, which is two or three streets away from St. Charbel's, would I find church bells offensive? Probably not. It serves the same purpose, does the same thing. It's quite universal. And even if you don't speak Arabic, you would be aware that this is just an Islamic call to prayer.
So I just had a couple of questions for the acoustic expert. You said that you had relied on a recording of another imam.
Yes.
Did you listen to a call to prayer from the imam of the Lakemba Mosque?
No, I was told that that particular recording would be used as the playback. So we based our assessment or our spectral characteristics on that particular waveform.
Okay. And did I misunderstand you when you said earlier, did you say that you actually considered that it did meet the 5 dBA, background plus 5 dBA criteria?
So the DCP has the background plus 5 criteria, and the noise policy for industry product noise trigger level that we established was also the background plus 5. Now, we've applied modifications to them as per the EPA as a one-time event exceedance level, which is why the levels under the EPA would be louder than what the DCP would be. But the base assessment of background plus 5 was the same. So that is in our previous report. It is table 4. Oh, sorry, my apologies, table 3. And that's on page 10. So the daytime levels, measured levels were 37. And then product noise trigger levels ended up being 42, which is the same as council's DCP of background plus 5.
So that, we didn't have any more questions. The other speaker didn't turn up? No, okay. Well, in those circumstances, that concludes the addresses, and we'll now move into closed session to deliberate, and as I indicated, our decision with reasons will be posted on the business paper on the website within 2 business days. I declare the meeting closed at 6:40 p.m. Thank you.